back in fresh juice, right? Thank you, worship team. You know, we've been ministering here trying to make or get our families to become strong families, and we do welcome all those that will be joining us from Facebook. We do believe that there's no distance in the spirit realm, amen? Amen. So we do believe when God speaks to our heart. My wife and I were having a really serious heart-to-heart earlier in the week, and she was saying, honey, I don't know what it is. How do people get to a place where they want to be pure? They want to live holy. You know, we're in a grace movement. We're in, and I want to even call it, the next movement isn't a movement, but it's a lifestyle change. It's like, it just seems like that people don't want to make the commitments they once did to separate themselves from the world, not pull yourself out of the world. If you do that, we'd have to hide. But want to be everything you can for the Lord. Now, he's laid it out to make it possible, but let me just preface it by saying this. There is nothing you can do or nothing you can be involved in that the Lord is not going to love you and be right there with you. But he's not blessing everybody's actions.
Correct.
So we have a choice still as believers. He's given us the kingdom, but we still have the choice to choose what's going to produce good fruit, and we have a choice to produce what's going to be destructive. And guess what? We're free, and he doesn't love us any less. Whatever our choice is, sure, he wants us to go the right way because he knows that will embellish us in breakthroughs. But I'm here to tell you, I've been in this too long, that I know that Christians still want to hang on to those little areas of their life that they know that are destructive. And I don't think, and it's not blaming it on the grace movement, because this has been in a way of life since I've known believers, wanting to hang on to things that they know are not producing good fruit in their lives, but they know God's not going to love them any less. So for whatever reason, we just hang on to little bits. It's kind of like a couple weeks ago when I talked about how the whole Bible is set up seed time and harvest. Everything starts with seed, and the life is in the seed. We can plant good seed, we can plant bad seed. But it's not an overnight harvest, amen?
Amen.
But I want you to listen very keen to where I'm going this morning, because I believe it can help if you're excited to be helped. And it shouldn't put bondage in you, because if we're open to what the Lord would have you grab a hold of, isn't our mission to try to help people get stronger and to have more benefits in their lives? And for whatever reason, sometimes it's not an easy place, whether it's Pastor Mike or myself, to try to give you nuggets that we think, actually we know, would bless your lives. So I just pray this morning by the power of the Holy Ghost that you have an open heart to be willing to lay aside those little foxes that are just waiting to take a hold of you again and beat you up or destroy your life, your marriage, your family. And let me tell you, it's not an overnight thing. That word that the Lord brought, little by little we get the land, but little by little we can lose it. I'm not talking about eternal life. If Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, praise God, we're going to heaven. I'm talking about the little foxes that we hang on to that steal the life and life more abundantly right here. Everything. Now I'm going to start with a scripture that I touched on a little bit with you, and I know it's in your notes, but it's in Galatians chapter 6. And listen, if you will. I'm going to begin at verse 7. Believers, don't be confused. Yours may say deceived. God is not going to be made a liar. Yours may say mocked. Whatever a man or woman sows, that's what they're going to reap.
Right.
If you choose to sow things to feed your flesh, you're going to reap flesh things that are going to corrupt you. Now, this is not made out. This scripture is not written for unbelievers. I'm not addressing unbelievers today. If you're an unbeliever and you're tuning in, I want you to give your life to the Lord. And when you give your life to the Lord, it's the beginning of a great life if you'll use what God freely gives you, which is the Word and the truth and the Holy Ghost that you get. If you sow into the Spirit, that real part of you, that got changed at the time you gave your heart to the Lord, you're going to reap everlasting life on earth. So, everybody look at me. Little by little, we gain the land, or little by little, we give it up. If you would like to track anybody that's living in victory, I can tell you if they're living in victory, it's because they've applied the little by little steps to create health and blessings and breakthroughs. And if you see lives that are out of whack, it didn't happen overnight. It's little by little they're hanging on to things that are self-destructive because they're free, or whatever terminology they want to use. You are free. This is what the Bible says. You will reap good or bad by what you sow. Now, in my kingdom dynamics, explaining that, it says this: we are living as God has set everything up as a lifetime of seed time and harvest. If we sow wisely, we reap benefits. If we sow poorly, God doesn't punish us. We're punishing ourselves. What is keeping us believers from wanting to live a life that's holy and pure? What is keeping us? That's not a dirty word. That's not bondage. He says, be ye holy as he's holy. He didn't say, you're automatically holy. Of course, the part that's hooked up with the Holy Ghost. But he's telling us to get our mind renewed and bring our body as a living sacrifice. He's telling us he wants us to choose life. But he doesn't force us to. He gives us the opportunity. See, I'm here because it's not just about us. It's about our children and how we have allowed little things to hang on to our life that's not setting the best example for them to have breakthroughs. We are to be living epistles. And yet if we're not willing to live holy and pure, how can we expect to reproduce that on the next generation? This is not a separation, a jump through the hoops. This is reality time. If you hang on to seeds that are not healthy for you, it's just a matter of time as they take root. It grows into something that can destroy you. Right. I heard a song this morning that fits right in. I'm not going to sing it to you. But the essence of it was this: dream small. Think small. Now, that's just contrary to whatever I've always been taught. Think big, man. We got a big God. You know what I find, though, when I was listening to it, just made sense. We're out there trying to get Christians think big and all this, and they're overwhelmed. They can't get to the bigness because it's a day-to-day step. Did you know that it was a very small stone that took down a giant? Right. Do you know that two small fish produce food for thousands? See, we need, I think, body of Christ, instead of getting overwhelmed because he's come to give us life and life more abundantly, what can I do today to take steps that are going to cause me to walk this pure and holy walk that'll be a blessing not only to me, but to those that are around me? The cry is, who's out there? Where's my Gideon's army that's not embarrassed to get down and lap like a dog because they love God, even if the multitudes don't want to? I'm here to tell you, there's a whole lot of Christians that are going to heaven, but there's a whole lot of Christians with compromise in their lives, and they're hanging on to seeds, and they don't even realize they're germinating, and they're set up to bring us down. So, dream small. What can you do today to better your life that'll be a better example for this next generation? 2 Corinthians, you don't need to turn to it, chapter 4, verse 6 verses tells us this: that where we live on earth, there's a God of this world. That's not Jesus, the Holy Ghost, or God the Father. This is the devil, demonic, the whole thing. It says that this was to the church, the Christians in Corinth. The God of this world has blinded us. Let me just paraphrase a little. The God of this world is covered up and said, it's okay to hang on to just a little bit of that junk because God loves you. And the truth is, he does. Hang on to that. Just put that in the corner. That's not going to take you out. Don't worry about it because God loves you no matter whether you do it or not. He does. But he doesn't love always what we're doing or what we're saving up to do. And the other thing, seeing you're in Galatians chapter 5, verse 1 says this to the believers. Stand secure in the freedom that Christ made you free. How many know that Jesus Christ, when we received him, he made us free? But how many know that we have something to do if we want to stay free?
Right.
So it goes on and it dissects it, and I'm not going to read it all. I'm going to jump over to 7. You believers, you ran well. Who's hindering you from the truth? Or what little foxes are you hanging on to that are germinating in your repertoire of things you're hanging on to? America did not get to this state of darkness overnight. It was little by little that we've allowed as a church compromise to come in, that now it's like anything and everything's okay, and if not, you are just a bad person. No, let God be true and every man a liar. Society may have changed, but God's truth has not. And if we implement his truth and we want to be people that are examples for Christ, then we've got to implement what he's laid down. So it says this, you ran well, who hindered you? This did not come from the Lord who called you. And verse 9 is where I want you to highlight it if you've got a pen or something. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. Everybody look at me. Why in the world would Paul, to a whole bunch of Christians, tell them to be we're mindful of just a little bit of leaven? Because he knows a little bit of leaven, if left very long, can wreck the whole loaf. Our lives are the whole loaf. If we hang on to just a little bit of areas, just because it feels good and because we're free, but we know it's destructive, not maybe just to us, but to others. Why do we want to hang on to it? My challenge is, and it's very quiet in here, and that's good because you're thinking. There are areas. You're saved. But I believe God's raised us up here to be a blessing to others. A little leaven leaveneth the whole loaf. Go with me to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. I'm going to read a couple verses here. Start with verse 30. Jesus is talking. This is in the Gospels. To what shall we like the kingdom of God? And everybody knows we're supposed to seek first the what? Jesus relates it to this. What is the kingdom of life like? And he says in verse 31, it's like a mustard seed, which when it's sown on the ground is smaller than all the seeds. Okay, everybody look at me. That mustard seed doesn't look real powerful, does it? That little pebble that took down the giant doesn't look very big. But that seed, because it's a God seed, can create havoc on the powers of darkness and can bring our flesh under submission to the real you. But on the other side of it, if we hang on to those small seeds of destruction, no one's going to tell me I still can't hang on to a little bit of anger, a little bit of unforgiveness, a little bit of drinking, a little bit of smoking, a little bit of checking out other chicks or guys. I'm moderation. Moderation? Moderation of adultery? Moderation of out of relation or marriage? We've fallen for this, church, and I'm saying it's time we wake up and realize those little foxes that we want to hang on to because we're free to do that could be the very source that takes us or our children out as they're looking for some heroes in their life that will walk the walk and pay the cost and not do it in bondage, but in freedom. When I got filled with the Holy Ghost and my wife back when we were 24 and 25, we exploded for the things of God. And we're saying, what has happened, church? We had close friendships in the church that we were growing in. And both these couples hung on to this part. They still wanted to be able to socialize this thing. You know, hey, you know what? That's not going to hurt anybody. And we stayed quiet. Every one of those couples ended up divorced because it ended up causing a bigger picture down the road. You can fight to hang on to those little seeds that you know all they do is sway your mind. And there has to come a point, church, that we say, you know what? I want more. I want to be more of an example for that next generation. I do not have to keep this nonsense in my life anymore. I don't have to hang on and use the F-bomb only once in a while. I don't have to curse people out just once in a while, just a little bit. I got the right to hang on to a little bit of cursing. I'm going to hang on to just a little bit of squirreling around, just a little bit. I'm going to hang on to just a little booze. No, I'm telling you what. Hang on to it. But be warned, those little seeds that we're not willing to give to the Lord and say, you know what? If anybody's going to tell me I can't get high on Jesus, you're nuts. I've been high all these years. I'm still high. People hang with me. They say you're laughing and having a good time all the time. That's because I am. I don't need any mind-altering substances. I don't need anything hidden in my closet just in case I get down. I got something to get a buzz on. No! And neither do you. We're on the same team. And it's not just about you. It's about a world that needs to see some men and women that'll stand up and decide, I don't need to hang on to this any longer. Why do I have to keep this in my life? And everybody, and every time I see somebody, and I get in little meetings, I'll meet with people, and I say, what do you think of this? I stay quiet. And they want to justify hanging on to something. Now listen, and listen, and listen. If they're not asking me, I'm not telling them because they don't really want to get rid of it. They want to hang and play with it. Oh, I only do this with a couple of my employees just once in a while. They're guys. Yeah, right. You're setting the stage for something that's going to be bigger. Amen? Amen? A little seed can grow into a colossal result. Look with me, because you're in Mark to chapter 8, because he warned them about just a little bit. Just a little bit of this leaven. I wouldn't even have to tell anybody in here this concept. If you got one apple in a bushel basket of apples that's spoiled, and you keep that part, you hang on to that little apple in there, what happens to that whole bushel? Over time, the whole thing what? It's the same concept. Everything is set up that way. Then why do we want to hang on to some of these little freeing dimensions? So, this is what he warns them. Chapter 8, verse 15 says this. Then Jesus says, take heed, beware of the leaven. Remember, leaven's just little teeny stuff. The leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. Look back up at me. The reason why he's saying a little of the Pharisees is because just a little bit of religiosity can take the whole plan of God's grace off course. One untruth that someone tries to justify, and we call that religious concept, can take you off base, and Jesus knew that, so he says, beware of the Pharisees. Little leaven, it's not a big colossal, it's not the devil coming with horns and a pitchfork and going to poke you with it. No, it's a little deception. Or the other part is, beware of the leaven of Herod. Herod represented the world. That wasn't the religion. beware of just little things that we say, well, you know, I want to be able to relate with the world, so I'm going to hang on to this part and make it a part. That way I can get together and say, see, I'm still cool. I can still keep this part in my life. It's a lie, and it's deception, and it can kill you. And it can kill our kids who are looking for somebody to be an example. How many know that back in the 70s when Roe versus Wade, before it was a law, it didn't start by mass killing babies. It started by a little argument. The life of the mother. And all the stories came, just a little bit of seed. Oh, the baby, don't worry about this. The life of the mother. So they got enough votes to pass a law, Roe versus Wade. But as that law was passed, little by little, then they begin to say, hey, convenience. You don't need that. Oh, a lot of cultures, if it's not a guy, they get rid of the girls. Then some of us stood strong, and there was a little video that they had taped, the doctors, called the silent scream. It was a little baby in the womb that was mouth was open as they were just preparing to stab it with their probe and kill its life. I'm sorry if your kids are in here, but they need to note this thing. These things don't happen overnight. Right. And that little baby was screaming. And what happened? Oh, that's horrible. Why would you show that? You're just da-da-da-da-da-da. To the point, fast forward ahead. Here we are, 9th month. If you want to, you can crush that baby's head and kill it at late-term abortion. Something's wrong with that. It did not happen overnight. Nor did it happen. Come on, I'm going to get real with you. This sex culture now that anything and everything goes, that did not happen overnight. Right. Has there always been seeds outside? Yes. I remember back when my parents' day and so forth, and my wife liked some of those old movies, they talk about, you know, you did not shack up. You did not try 15 different people out to find the right person. You honor what the word says. The Lord blesses marriage. Right. Marriage is one man for one woman. Fornication, which is all through the Bible, says do not have a relationship outside the marriage covenant. And it used to be pretty held to. No, not everybody. Come on now. But I'm talking about the church. The church took a stance, not a bondage stance. We love everybody, but we've got to lay out the truth. Very good. So we tell our daughters, oh, it's okay, we'll get you an apartment. This guy's probably going to be the one you're going to want. And so now we call it shacking up, and it's no big deal. It's acceptable. We used to have, because we invest in properties, we used to have when people would have a live-in boyfriend or girlfriend, they would tell us this, we're engaged. They'd always say they're engaged. Everybody was engaged. We found that normally they didn't end up married. They ended up separating. Then they'd say, well, I've got a boyfriend. Now, my latest one, I got a call. My two teenage daughters. Yeah, one's got a boyfriend's going to live with us. And I said, but this is small. Where's your other teenager? It was like, hey, it's okay. What are you, old-fashioned? Something wrong with you? I'm telling you, church, if we don't step up and tell our kids, it is a beautiful thing to wait to have that mighty man and woman of God. You wait until you're married and you learn together. Somewhere, if they don't hear it in the church or not hear it, we're not beating anybody up. But we're saying, wherever your lifestyle, whatever you've gone through, you've gone through it. Today's a brand new day. We don't have to live in yesterday. It's today. And today is we need to set some things in motion. We need to encourage our kids. Marriage is beautiful, and hopefully they're watching some of us married couples and thinking, wow, I want to be like them. Enjoying life and being happy. But society now has broken down to such a point. I'm telling you, it's scary in the natural. Thank God we live in the spiritual. So then a number of years ago, the church began to come under attack. And one of our past administrators said, okay, Shield of Faith, if you're going to let people use your facility, then if you don't like their lifestyle, too bad. You still got to let them use your facility. So, hence, we had membership. That you had to look at, you believe in this. You believe that marriage is one man with one woman. And you have to believe that in order to be a member. The only way we could protect ourselves. Do we hate those who are in a different lifestyle? Heck no, we're praying and believing God to set them free. But condoning that does not free them. It enslaves people and it makes our kids and that think that that's the way it's okay. You're just not PC, politically correct. We're God correct. God says you love everybody, but you don't love the actions. So the latest thing, I told my wife years ago, and now it's just an open thing, every TV program, whatever, you can't hardly watch a cutesy family TV that they don't have to bring the same-sex thing into it. Amen? Oh, that's acceptable. Now the latest push right now is pedophilia. They said, oh, you know, they're born with that. They have that concept. They like little kids, so we just got to accept it. And it's not going to be long, bestiology. Everything comes when it's bad. So you read Romans chapter 1. It talks about, I gave them the truth. I let them know this, but they resisted me. They fought against it. And because of that, I let them be free to choose. And they've not made good choices. And that was to a Christian bunch of Romans. We have got to be forerunners. We've got to be those that set the pace. And it's okay to say, this is not good. This is not right. This is not God's way. And if people get entrapped to it, I had a pastor just all of a sudden gave in and he became, well, I've had this desire, so God must have created me this way, so I guess I'm supposed to just love men. And I thought to myself, every drug addict, every womanizer, everyone that's driven that will not implement what the Holy Ghost has given us called self control. I don't have any more than you got because it comes with the Holy Ghost. You have Holy Ghost discipline to say, no, that's not right, and I'm not going to leave that in my life. And you may have to bring that subject for the rest of your life. If you feel you got to hang on to something and all of a sudden that thing is causing you to be destroyed, you have to decide. The Lord's free to let you hang on to whatever you want, but he's also there to say, oh, thank you, children, for laying that aside and getting free. Amen? Amen? Look with me to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Paul to a bunch of Christians says this. I'm going to pick it up at verse 11. You Christian, Corinthians, I'm speaking openly to you. This is Paul. Our heart is wide open. You're not restricted by us, but you're restricted by what you're choosing to do. Your own affections is what you're restricted into. And he goes on and he addresses it. What does darkness have to do with the glory? Now, we always use this one, don't date someone that's not a Christian, but this goes deeper than this. This is hanging on to those little things called darkness and keeping them around. Oh, I'm not going to go real big into it. I'm just hanging on to it because I want to be free to hang on to that part of my old life or whatever. And this is what he says. Come out. Be separate. Don't touch that which is unclean. Look at verse 1 of chapter 7. Having these promises, beloved children, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh. Who is telling, who's to do the cleansing? We are. God's already made us whole on the cross, but if we choose to hang on to things that are self-destructive, we're making ourselves filthy again. And God says, come on, come out and cleanse yourself. Get that nonsense out of your life. Is it really worth hanging on to? I was reading, I used to have my kids read a book, The Cross and the Switchblade, in school. And a brother in the Lord that went home to be with the Lord is David Wilkerson. And David Wilkerson set up Teen Challenge. It was a ministry. Now listen, it was a ministry to free addicts. Back then it was like a 10 to 12 month program. Now it's about 14. You go into this program, listen, you give up every addictive behavior, you lay it down. And they don't give you something to soothe your pain. They make you hate what you're going through called withdrawal. And he was in New York City, came from Pennsylvania, and he set this up on Clinton Avenue. And he would take these drug addicts and those. But he found out if they really didn't want to get freed, no sense. He didn't lock the doors. And he found out that when they got free, some of them still wanted to hang on to just a little bit of the old life, just a little bit. I keep some things in the refrigerator or underneath the shelf, just a little bit, not much, little seeds. Then he found out if he could get them baptized in the Holy Ghost, they even had more of a power to resist. But he found out there were still others that were slipping back into that. And he, like many of us pastors, throw our arms up and think, when is the body of Christ going to wake up and choose to cleanse themselves of junk that they're hanging on to in their life? We're all equal in God's kingdom. You and I make the choices. Nobody forces me to choose. I choose life. I choose everything I can that'll be a blessing to those around me, including your children. So this is what he said in frustration, a book that I dug out of my archive. He says, this is the devil's biggest lie. The biggest lie ever told by the devil has been perpetrated on this generation. And sadly, thousands of those Christians have bought the lie. What lie, you say? That times have changed. God has changed with the times to accommodate the new morality. I hear Christians push this lie at me everywhere I go. Christians listen to me talk about purity and holiness, about having sexual restraint and abstinence from drinking, and they look this preacher in the eye and they say to me, sir, you just don't understand. Your generation had its ways, but we see things differently today. We aren't hung up about sex and alcohol. We've been delivered from all these guilts and hang-ups. This is a new day of freedom. Remember what I read you in Galatians 5? Don't let your freedom be a stumbling block. A little leaven can destroy the whole thing. We really love Jesus, but we still have our own ways to do things. We just don't think much about it. We're different. It shocks you, but it's just the way it is. And he says, as an outright lie, sponsored and spread by Satan himself, and I'd like to add, and your flesh that wants to indulge, morality may change, but God's truth does not change. God is not dealing differently with sin today than he did in the past. There's absolutely nothing unique about the immorality of this generation, only that there's more of us now than there were. As in the days of Lot, they will, if they hang on to this, see. And you'll see all kinds of evil breaking out. Evil men on the earth are waxing worse and worse and has crept into the church. Iniquity is abounding and problems are compounding. God has not given this generation a special reproof from holiness. God has not turned a deaf ear or a blind eye to all the double standards of this breed. The Holy Spirit is not the sponsor of all this loose, permissive spirit of worldliness so prevalent today. Now, this was written years ago, and it's gotten worse and worse, but I'm here to just stand up and say, church, in Christ, we can do all things. Where is going to be, what is going to separate us to make us look different? We're not saying you get pompous and you say, look at me, I've arrived. But somewhere we've got to be willing to say, you know what, kids? There's something that will bless your life even more so. There's something about your lives and your body that's beautiful. And it should not be shared with anybody except that mighty man and woman of God. And Pastor Kathy and myself are tired to see broken relationships and marriages because Christians, not the world, the world's all messed up, but Christians that still want to hang on to some nonsense and still hide things under the shelf. I'm telling you what, if you got to be a partaker, then be transparent. Let people know, oh yeah, I'm there, so we can pray and believe God that something is going to hit your heart and you're going to get beyond just feeling good. And realize you can feel the best with Jesus. It's sad to see the statistics of how many so-called brothers and sisters in the Lord that still hang on to these destructive places in their life. Compromise has never been a part of our living God. Love always has. We as a church never criticize other ministries, and we don't beat up one another. But we do give truth, because we know the truth is what makes people free. And when you get that freedom, we want you to stay free. We don't want you to be enslaved again. You don't have to hang on to the F-bomb or the GD bomb and to make that be a real special part of your life. You don't have to hang on, well, I can handle this, and you can hang on a little bit of drug. You don't have to have that be a part of your life. Do you really? I always like to bring it on home. Parents, especially if you got young ladies, what kind of man you want for, you want someone how you used to be? Do you want somebody that's a partier? Or do you want someone that's sold out to Jesus and will treat you like a queen or a king? There was a news flash that came across, because I have to check in on the hottest news flashes. And they had this, there's a show where they've got some candidate on that that's a virgin. And they annihilated this guy. Made him feel like he was second rate because he was not squirreling around. I'm thinking our hats need to come off and say, wow, every man I've ever asked, every woman I've ever asked, if you had a choice that your man had not been with anybody but just you, what would you take? I'd take that one. If you asked wives for their children, if you had a daughter, would you like one that's had some guy that's played the basses all over, or would you like one that's going to learn with your daughter that's going to be a beautiful thing? Now, you can't relive wherever you've been, but we can prepare for tomorrow. Counseling kids in school, guys would come to me and say, I'm embarrassed of this, Mr. Townsend, but I got to let you know, I'm still a virgin. These are guys. And I would shake their hand and say, God bless you. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. Notches on your belt don't make you a man. What makes you a man is being different, being strong, being unique. What makes you, young lady, powerful is that you're not just anybody. You're a mighty woman of God. And you don't give compromise. Amen? Now, I'm not here to, and this hopefully doesn't beat anybody up, but we can himsy-pimsy around and watch all this happening out there. But I'm telling you, it's not a surprise, because it's infiltrated our lives. And the church are to be the pace setters. People used to be, when I was in school, they'd ask me, Pastor, why don't you drink? Are you an alcoholic? I'd say, no, I don't drink because I want to be the best example I can be for you. And that would always astound them. And I will debate anybody with scriptural. If you want scriptural bases that will debunk where people stand to try to make it be a certain way, God does not take something that's dead and old to create life. Life is in the freshest fruit, the freshest vegetables. They're the most potent, and they're the healthiest. If you want to go God's way, go fresh way. The newest way, not stuff that's got to decay and die and be put into chemicals and all that. Amen? And I challenge those that are listening also on Facebook. God loves all of us, no matter what you do. But he doesn't love everything we do. And my challenge to you is I challenge this congregation. If there's areas of your life that you've just been hanging on to, you've just been keeping that kind of hid, and you know there's nothing in that that brings life and encouragement, I'm going to encourage you by the power of the Holy Ghost to lay it down. Be different. Be an exception. Be the mighty man and woman of God. Be part of Gideon's army. Be a Joshua and Caleb. Be those that, having fought, they're still standing. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. It's okay, church, that we stand up for what's right. That's a mandate God's given us, not to criticize others, but to stand up and be a pace setter and to believe God for the best. We have a lot of beautiful families. Pastor Mike and I have been praying for young families to connect. We've got a lot of young families. I want to assure them that you all are praying with me, that their children, and you'll hear us pray all the time, stay pure and holy until the mighty man or mighty woman of God comes into their life so they don't have to undo a bunch of nonsense. It's just baggage that you got to deal with down the road. Let's rise to our feet. Let's stand. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Bible says there's absolutely no condemnation in Christ Jesus. If you're feeling condemned in any way, that was not my intent, nor was that the Lord's attempt. His attempt is to take us higher, to be willing to lay aside things that are just tripping us up, not just for you, but for the next generation. Father God, we lift up this body, and I thank you and I pray for each and every life that you've drawn here today, that they will be forerunners, that they will be the Gideon's army, they will be the Joshua's and Caleb's, that having done, they'll stand. Lord, I thank you that every listening voice will make a decision to present their bodies as living sacrifices and will cleanse themselves of nonsense and will rid themselves of those little foxes that are waiting to be used to destroy the whole lump. Father, I prophesy the bodies of Christ here will not be destroyed, but they will make quality decisions and go for you. And I give you the praise. And if there is anybody viewing that's not made Jesus Christ their Lord, most important decision you ever did, right where you're at, just invite Jesus in. You don't have to come to church. You don't have to be any particular denomination. You just got to believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and acknowledge that you need him in your life. And he comes in and makes you a new creature in Christ Jesus. And we thank you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Greet one another. Love on one another. God bless you.